Normally, the sermon is to be about proclaiming the gospel, and we always try to tie it in. Every once in a while, as you know, is I like to do a little lesson or something that teaches us maybe a little bit about our faith or a little bit about our church. Now, recently, I had a phone call from someone who was seeking information about Orthodoxy, and they asked me about Sunday worship. They say, scripturally, it says that the church, the early church, worshiped on the Sabbath. But why is it that we worship on Sundays? Well, I believe as the Seventh-day Adventists, their founder, who came up with the notion that Constantine had somehow changed the worship day from the Sabbath to Sunday in honor of the sun god or some such thing. The reality is that this has nothing, absolutely nothing, to do with why we are worshiping today on Sunday rather than the Sabbath. Now, you have to understand, and I know the Greeks have a hard time with this, but Jesus was a Jew. He was not Greek. The disciples were Jews. They were not Greeks. The church of the first century almost exclusively, or at least the majority, were Jews. It was the last portion of the first century where the Gentiles were maybe overwhelmingly became mixed in, and there was no more division about whether there were Jews or Gentiles, but everyone was together as Christians. So we have to remember that we read in Scripture very clearly that it tells us that on the first day of the week, the Lord was raised. It's on the first day of the week that they celebrated the Eucharist. Okay, and then it tells us, John in the Apocalypse tells us that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So now we have in the earliest churches, this is after the ascension of our Lord, after the Pentecost, the disciples were worshiping our Lord in the temple. They were worshiping him in the synagogues. That because they were Jews. Where else would they worship? Okay, but there was also the Lord's Day. And on the Lord's Day, they would have the love feast. So that in the evening, they would gather together and they would remember the Eucharistic meal. So they would have a meal together, just like what we call the Last Supper in English or the Mystical Supper in the Greek. It says, so they would gather together and they would have this meal. And during this meal, they would sing hymns and they made a service out of it. Because that's the way our Lord did it. Whenever they would sit down to eat, they would pray, they would sing hymns, and they would eat, and then they would break the bread for the communion. Okay, so now we have the early church was worshiping in two different places, in the synagogues and on Sundays. So they were worshiping in the synagogue because they were Jews, and that was the tradition, and then on Sundays. Well, after 70 A.D., or at 70 A.D., the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. So no one could worship in the temple anymore. Okay, the Jews, now it becomes difficult here because we have Jews and we have Jews. But the temple Jews, or the leaders of the synagogues, at that time became very frightened, because they saw that the Romans had destroyed the temple and they were afraid that there was going to be a great persecution against them as well. So they shunned the Christians. Now, this becomes problematic because the Jews will argue that the reason they shunned the Christians or prohibited them from worshiping in the synagogues was because of the persecution that was taking place against the Christians. But the persecution that was taking place against the Christians was because of the Jewish leaders in the synagogues and in the temples. They were the ones who were they were bad-mouthing the Christians to the Roman authorities. So now, all of a sudden, this comes back to bite them, and then the Christians are the ones that get thrown out of the synagogues. Okay? So the Christians were asked nicely, maybe not so nicely, but they were not permitted to worship in the synagogues. So where are they going to worship? If they're not allowed in the synagogues to worship on Sabbath, there's no place to worship on the Sabbath. So they continued worshiping on Sundays. They brought the services, the liturgical services of the Sabbath and of the temple onto Sunday. And this was probably a little after the fall of the temple. And this would be around 80-85 AD is what I've researched. My research says, I'm sure that some were earlier and some were later. But ultimately, the worship of the Christians, it was probably around 80-85 AD that they no longer were allowed to worship in the synagogue, so we worshiped on Sunday. And it's been that way ever since. Okay, and that's primarily where we changed identities. But now we also have to think, okay, when the early church considered themselves to be Jews, when did that change? When the church did not consider themselves to be Jewish. The reality is this is a gray area. Because in essence, Jesus said he was the fulfillment of the laws and the prophets. So the early church saw themselves as the fulfillment of the Jewish faith. There was a drastic change. They always saw themselves as the Jewish faith. And in fact, in so many ways, we are the fulfillment of the Jewish faith because we have accepted the Messiah. Okay, the Messiah came and we accepted him. There are others that did not accept him. We cannot say Jews and Christians and make a clear division. Since there are the Jews and the adopted Jews, if you will, who accepted the Messiah, and then there are the others who did not accept the Messiah. So we are the fulfillment, as Christ was the fulfillment of the law and the prophet, we are the fulfillment of the Jewish faith. This is why we have the Old Testament as part of our scripture. We didn't throw that away and say, well, we're starting something new. The Old Testament scripture is part of our faith. However, we read the Old Testament in the context of the New Covenant, the New Testament. So we can't read the Old Testament as a legalistic book of laws and try to apply it to our lives today. That's not the way we read it. Now, the Jews, especially the Orthodox Jews, that's exactly what they do. But we look at it in the context of Jesus Christ and his gospel. So we are, in fact, continuation of the Jewish faith. Now, some people will maybe criticize and they say, well, you're a liturgical church. Of course we're liturgical. The Jews were liturgical. The Jewish faith was liturgical. The Jewish worship service was liturgical. We haven't changed that. We've always been liturgical. Even before Christ says it's been a liturgical church. But sometimes people feel that they have the need to criticize the Orthodox Church because we're liturgical, as though we invented the liturgy. No, we didn't invent it. We preserved it. Everything that we teach is not an invention. It is not an innovation. It has never changed. The precedent is clear, and the precedent is there for us to see. We have preserved, as best as we can, as human beings, the teachings of the apostles and the way of worshiping of the earliest times, the Jewish way of worship, which was handed down to us, and we have preserved it. Okay? Has it evolved? A little bit here and there, of course. But ultimately, fundamentally, says we have and we are a liturgical church because we've always been a liturgical church. We never changed. We never woke up one morning and say, you know, let's be a liturgical church today. I said, no, there's always, always the liturgy. And fundamentally, we're here to give praise, and we're here to worship, and we're here to give ourselves. We don't come to receive something. We don't come to be entertained, because the apostles taught us that we come to worship, to remember, to pray. Okay, so this is a giving time. It's not, we don't come to receive. We do receive, though, because we know that when you give something, we receive something as well. And today, on Sundays, we come together for 2,000 years. On Sundays, we come together to give and to offer ourselves to God. And in return, we see that God cannot be outgiven. He gives it back to us and multiplies it. So know that the church has not made changes. Do you know how many bishops it takes to change a light bulb? Change? It's very difficult to make changes in the Orthodox Church because we are a conciliar church. In order for a change to be made, the whole church has to agree. If someone tries to make a change without the agreement and without the acceptance from the whole church, he says, there is a revolution. We have several times in the past where people have tried to make changes to our theology or changes to our belief, and there was an uprising in the church. And these are all verified historically. So if we are doing something, if we are teaching something today, it's because it was taught 2,000 years ago and it was done 2,000 years ago. We have not changed that. That's called precedent. So the precedent has been established throughout time. And I'm not going to talk about the Pope. But the papacy is unprecedented. That's one of the first changes that was made by the Roman Catholic. And they have made changes. And I'm getting in over my head now,